Okay, we're starting here, three lines down on the top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the Shita of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, who rejects the contention of Rabba that Yeush is Kone. Rabba had a question as to whether Yeush is Kone midrabbanan or midoraita, but he felt that Yeush by itself definitely was Kone. Rav Yosef rejected that and said that Yeush is not Kone. We had a problem because we have instances where we see Yeush is Kone. Rav Yosef answered that problem by suggesting that Shinui Hashem is the cause for the Kinyan in all those instances and not Yeush. But then we run into a problem because one of those instances seems to be the case of Takanat Marish. We answered in the end of yesterday's daf that possibility that there is no Shinui Hashem in that instance of Takanat Marish because the beam is known as a beam before it's put into the building. And after it is put into the building. So there is really no Shinui Hashem over here. Now Rabbi Zeira is going to offer an alternative answer on behalf of Rabbi Yosef to say that he does hold of Shinui Hashem, but he limits or qualifies when Shinui Hashem is Kone. And that Rabbi Zeira Amar, Shinui Chozer Debriato, B'Shinui Hashem, Lo Habe Shinui. When there is a change that is reversible, then if the change is in the name of the object, but it's reversible, that's not called the Shinui Hashem. So now you want to suggest, and this would be the answer to our question with the guy Takanat Marish, is that if you have a Shinui that is irreversible in its name, then that is a Shinui that sticks and has significance and is Kone. So if the name changes, and that change in the name is irreversible, then that would generate a Kinyan of Shinui Hashem. On the other hand, if you have a Shinui Hashem that is reversible, that's not significant enough of a Shinui Hashem by the mere fact that it is reversible. And therefore, it's not classified as a Shinui Hashem that would generate a Kinyan. And that's the case of the Marish, that's the case of the beam. Because yes, the name of the beam might change once you put it from being just a plain beam into being a cross beam in the house or a structural support of the house. But as soon as you take it out again, it becomes or takes back the name of a beam. And so for that reason, this is not a case of Shinui Hashem that would be Kone. And that's how Rav Yosef answers the problem of the Takanat Marish. The Gemara now says, wait, are you so certain that when you have an irreversible change in name, that that creates a Kinyan? Don't we have a Braita in Mikvaot that indicates otherwise? We have a Harit Sinor. In a case of a pipe, the Mikara Ketzitzta, beforehand it's just a block of wood, Vahashto Sinora, and now it is a pipe. So here's a case where if you had just a plain block of wood, that would be just a block of wood. If you carve out inside the block of wood to create a pipe, then that would now be a pipe instead of a tzitzta, a block of wood. Vitanya, tzinor shechakko ubisov kavao. If he takes a pipe and carves out the pipe before he affixes it to the ground, poselet hamikveh, then it causes problems for the mikveh. The mikveh requires mayim, rainwater that comes, and not the mayim shuvim, not drawn water. Over here, if the water runs through a kli before it ends up in the mikveh, that makes it into mayim shuvim. So if the pipe is detached when it's made, and then only subsequently attached to the ground, then it has a shame kli on it, and any water that runs through it on its way to the mikveh would be considered mayim shuvim. On the other hand, kiva'o, if you first affix the block of wood to the ground, and then you carve out the pipe, then it's not posel the mikveh, because once you've affixed it to the ground, it becomes an extension of the ground. And when you're carving it out, it's as if you're making a ditch in the ground to carry the water to the mikveh, or the rainwater to the mikveh. And so therefore it won't be classified as mayim shi'uvim. So the difference is whether it has a shame kli beforehand, or whether it has a shame of being attached to the karka beforehand. If it's a shame kli, then it becomes a problem for mayim shuvim. If it's attached to the ground, then it's a part of the karka, and it's not a problem for mayim shuvim. V'yamart shinui hashem miltahi. If you tell me that a irreversible shinui hashem has significance over here, afilu kiva'o l'sof kakako nami lipasel, then if you attach it to the ground and then carve it out, that should still have significance, because yes, you attached it to the ground, and yes, you carved it out when it was attached to the ground, but you changed an object from being a block of wood attached to the ground now to being a pipe. And so you've done something significant that changes the character of the item that's there. And that should make it into a kli that would then be posel the mikveh because of mayim shuvim. Mar says, shiny shi'iva dimidrabanan hi. This is an exceptional case because the psul of Maim Shuvim in the mikveh is only a din derabanan. It's a major machloket rishonim as to how much is derabanan and when does it turn into a din deoraita. The Mishnayot talk about shlosha lugim. If you have three lug of Maim Shuvim as being problematic for the mikveh, when it has less than the requisite 40 sa'ah inside of it. On the other hand, there are many Rishonim that believe that even if it has 40 sa'ah, it's only once it's a robe, does it become a problem in terms of Mayim Shu'uvim. But, irregardless, the din here is a din derabonon, and the derabonon were makil in this instance to say that once you've attached it to the ground and then carve it out, that that's not posel the mikveh. When it says, yachid, I feel the ratio nami. Then if that's the case, also in the ratio where you carve it out and then affix it to the ground, you also should be makil over there too, and say that that doesn't cause Mayim Shu'uvim. Hatam ikat Torat kli alav bitalush. Over there, even though it's only an institution of the Chachamim, nevertheless it has a shame kli on it already before it's attached to the ground. And that shame kli, when it's detached from the ground, already causes problems in terms of Mayim Shuvim, because even if you attach to the ground afterwards, it already got the shame kli beforehand. Hacha, in the case where you first attach it to the ground, and then you make it into a pipe or a kli, it never has a shame kli while it is detached from the ground. And so that difference allows the Chachamim to distinguish between the two cases. Even though technically, according to you, that shinui shame is something that is significant and causes a change in the object. So in both instances, you have a kli here. Nevertheless, if you gave it the shame kli while it's detached, that will be an isur derabanan because it might shuvim or be a problem. On the other hand, if you attach it to the ground first, the Chachamim didn't impose their takana with regards to Mayim Shu'uvim because of the fact that it was attached to the ground, it never became a shame kli while it was detached from the ground. Tosafot over here spends time on trying to understand what exactly is the scenario here, because in order for a kli to be deemed a kli, especially if you're talking about wood, it needs to have a rim around it. It has to be closed in on all four sides in order that it has what's called a beit kibul. It has a receptacle in it. And over here you have a pipe. And the way that a pipe is built is that two of the sides are closed, but the other two are open, so that's how the water flows through it. So why would you consider a pipe a kli over here? So one day on Tosafot is that that's exactly what it is. It's a pipe that has a rim around it, and has a rim on all four sides, and that's why it's deemed to be a kli. On the other hand, Tosafot brings from the Ri, Misimpont, Perish Tafilu Parutz Mishnei Ruchot. Even if it's a regular pipe, like we think about it, Ari Kederach Tzinor Ukugon, it's a case of a pipe, where they actually cut into the base of the pipe a depression which catches the silt and the rocks that are flowing through the pipe. So since the rocks and the silt are heavier, what they do is they dig or carve out of the bottom of the pipe a depression inside of the pipe. That way the water flows on top, and that depression in the bottom catches all the pebbles and silt that is going through the water. And then that makes it into a clay kibul, because that area down below is definitely encompassed in all four sides, and it's made to capture things inside of it. And that's why here is a problem of Mayim Shuvim. The only problem with that explanation, which helps in terms of making it into a clay, is that the Gemara originally says that it was a ktsitsa, it was a block of wood, and then it became a pipe. According to this, it was a pipe originally, and then you carved this groove into the bottom of the pipe. And that was the change here. It didn't change from a block to a pipe. It changed from a pipe without a groove to a pipe with a groove, based on what you're saying here. So Tosafot then it says that, well, that groove that you dig and carve into the pipe is what makes it Pasul HaMikveh, and that's a significant change in the name, because now it's no longer a pipe that just carries water and it's fine. It's a pipe that carries water that causes a psul in the mikveh. So now the Gemara continues, Meitaveh. Again, another question on Rav Yosef's position with regards to the fact that Shinu Hashem is Koneh, and Yehush is not Koneh. Haganav v'Gazlan v'Hanas. If you have a thief, whether he's a ganav or gazlan, later on in the Masechta, the Gemara will discuss the sheet of the Chachamim versus Rabbi Shimon, because each one of these is a problem for one of their two sheetot, and the Gemara will answer it back then. Banas is someone who forcibly causes someone to sell them an object. They pay for it, but they do it under duress. Hekdishan, hekdesh. If they take something, and then they're magdishit, their hekdesh works. Trumatan, truma. And then if they make something into truma, it's a good truma. Masrutan, maser. And if they take off and they separate out maser, and they call it maser, it is maser. So now, the fact that these individuals have the ability to change the status of the object means that they own the object. That means that they have full enough control over the object in order to be makdishit, in order to make it into truma, or to make it into maser. The only way they can do that is if they have an kinyan on the object. Where is the kinyan over here? Now, it seems that the kinyan here is Yeyush. And therefore, it sounds like Yeyush is koneh, like Rabba Shita. And unlike Rabbi Yosef, who says Shinui Hashem is koneh, and not Yeyush, how is he going to explain this breita? Amrei, hotam ikri Shinui Hashem. Wait a minute, over there, there's also Shinui Hashem. It's not just Yeyush, there's also Shinui Hashem. Dimi kara tivla, vahashta truma. Beforehand it was known as Tevel, now it's known as Truma. Hekdesh, beforehand Mikara Chulin, it was originally Chulin, Vashta Hekdesh, now it's known as Hekdesh. So not only is there Yeush over there, but there's also a Shinoi Hashem. And Rashi says over here that Hekdeshan Hekdesh, and you cannot get Hana from it, and Trumatan is Asur Lizarim, because it is a good Truma and it belongs to the Kohen, but it seems from Rashi, and we're going to see this later on in the Gemara, that Hekdesh is a good Hekdesh to make it a Suda Zarim, but it's not good enough to allow you to put it on the Mizbeach because of the problem of Mitzvah Haba Be'Avera. Now the Tosafot over here point out that this Shinui Hashem is a Shinui Hashem HaChozer LeBriato. This is a reversible Shinui Hashem because you can be Shoel, you can go and be Matir Neder and reverse, whether it's Hekdesh or Truma, you can reverse those issues. And since you can reverse them, that would be a shame that is Chozer LeBriato. And we just said, according to Rabbi Zeira, that Shinui Hashem HaChozer LeBriato, that Rav Yosef agrees that that's not a kinyan. So Tosfot says that despite the fact that you can be Shoel, it's Dobar Delo Shikriach. It's not common for people to go and be Matir Neder with regards to their Hekdesh or their Truma. And since it's an unusual thing, we don't consider it something that is Chozer LeBriato. Others suggest over here that Shinui Hashem HaChozer LeBriato is only in a case where you have the ability to reverse it, where you have enough control to reverse it. Over here, yes, you can reverse it, but you have to involve a third party in order to reverse it, and that's not called the Shinui Hashem HaChozer LeBriato. Now, the Balei Tosfot ask over here, and many Rishonim point out, that with regards to Truma and Maser, you have Shinui Hashem without Shinui Rishut. Because over there, even after you're Magdishit as Truma, or as designated as Maser, it still stays in your possession until you give it to the appropriate party. It's still yours to give to whomever you want. So there's still no Shinui Rishut. On the other hand, by the case of Hekdesh, when you're Magdishit, not only do you have Shinui Hashem, you also have Shinui Rishut. And so then why does the Gemara here say, though, it's a Shinui Hashem, it's really a Shinui Rishut. There's actually a change in ownership here, and that should generate the Kinyan, irrespective of the Shinui Hashem. So the Balei Tosafot suggest the case here cannot be speaking about a case where the individual has no responsibility towards Hekdesh afterwards. Because then it really would be Shinui Rishut. It would go out of his possession into the possession of Hekdesh, and he has no longer has any responsibility. Therefore, the case here must be a case where it's Kodshim that he has Achrayut. He has responsibility to ensure they end up on the Mizbeach. And therefore, there's no real Shinui Rishut, because even though it moved into the Rishut of Hekdesh, there still is an obligation on him to ensure that it reaches Hekdesh. And that obligation makes it that it's not if there is a complete Shinui Rishut. Others suggest that maybe you can differentiate between Kodshim Mizbeach and Kodshei Damim, as to whether there really is a change in ownership or not. And the Ramban suggests over here that Hekdesh was just brought down Agav. And that Hekdesh really is a problem of Shinui Rishut, and that's why there's a Kinyan, but it's just brought down together with the other items because it's of a similar ilk to those items, but it's not teaching you about Shinui Hashem. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yonatan, Minayin Lishinui Shehu Koneh. How do you know that Shinui does activate a Kinyan? Shinemar. So he brings the same pasuk that we saw that Rabba brought before, that this is the indication min ha Torah, min ha Katuv, that Shinui is Koneh, because it says, Ve'eshivet ha'gzeila. Matam olomar asher gazal. He has to return the theft. What do you mean that he stole? Of course, if it's theft, that he's returning the thing that he stole. Im ke'en she'gazal, yagzir. If it's still intact, if it is still extant the way that he stole it, then you give it back. Bin lav, if it's not still intact, or it's not extant anymore, then damim ba'alma ba'ilishlume. Then he has to pay monetary compensation, which shows that he took possession of the item, and in his taking possession of the item, he now becomes obligated to compensate for the taking of the object into his own possession. Now, even though you could have argued that the pasuk is telling you that if you can return the item intact, return it. If you can't return it intact, you should be patur legamre. The reason that we don't say this, or V'chanan Wasserman claims, is because in the Psukim, in Vayikra, hey, the Torah makes it clear that you do have to make a payment. And that is, V'shilam oto b'rosho v'chamishitav yosef alav. So the Torah makes it clear that you're going to make payment. The only question is, what type of payment you're going to make. And therefore, this interpretation of the Pasuk is the only one that makes sense, which is that if it's intact, you give the object. If it's not intact, then you pay the damim. So now Gemara says, wait a minute. Hayashir gazal mi bayi. We need Asher Gazal for a different limud. Limaute Gezel Aviv. Shenu Musif Chomesh al Gezel Aviv. We need that to teach us that if his father had stolen money, denied it under oath, and then admitted to it, which means that he's chayav to return the karen to the owners, pay an additional Chomesh, and bring a Korban Hashem. If the father passes away, the child has an obligation to pay the karen, to make whole on the karen, but he does not have to pay the Chomesh. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, Asher Gazal, the one who stole, he is the one who has to pay the Chomesh, but not the individual who is just making compensation or paying it back. So here the son, who's not the one who stole, but is just making whole for what his father stole, he doesn't have to pay the Chomesh. It says, Imke nichtov rachmana veshivet gzelo. Then it should have just written gzelo in the possessive form, his gezel. And we would have known this din. Asher Gazal, lamali the mechtav. That extraneous, Asher Gazal, what do I need to write that for? Shma min atarti. From that I can learn out two things then, which is both the fact that a son does not have to pay Chomesh for the father, as well as the fact that Asher Gazal teaches you that only when it's intact do you have to return the object, but if you already made some form of kinyan on it, it's changed from its original form and now it's yours, then you make monetary compensation and do not return the object itself. Vigadamre, and some say, Amar Chista Mayonotam, minayin the shinui she'eno koneh. How do we know that Shinoi doesn't work? Shinamar, Veshivat Gzela, mi makom makom. Says you have to return the Gzela no matter what. No matter what means even if you have made a Shinoi, even if it's not intact, you have to return the object itself. Vaktiv Asher Gazal. What about those extraneous terms, Asher Gazal? How mi bayale al Gzelo Shalom Mosif Chomesh, Ven Mosif Chomesh al Gezel Aviv. We need the Asher Gazal for a different limud, which is to teach you that only a Chomesh is only paid if you are the Ganav himself or the Gazman himself. But if it's someone else, meaning that you're paying it on behalf of that individual, a son for a father in that situation, then you don't have to pay the Chomesh. And this is what the Balei Tosafot said before. Here you have a Shita that believes that Shinoi is not Koneh. How could it be you have a Shita that says Shinoi is not Koneh when Beit Hillel before said that Shinoi is Koneh and they bring a Pasuk for it? So that's where Tosafot differentiated between Shinoi Achuzer the Briato, where the Amoraim here are arguing as to whether Shinoi is Koneh or not, versus a Shinoi She'enu Chozer the Briato, where the Amoraim or the Tanaim, everyone believes that that is a Kinyan, and that's what Beit Hillel was speaking about. And now the Gemara continues, Amar Ula, Minayin Le'yush She'enu Koneh. How do we know that Yush is not Koneh? So now you have Ula, who's clearly arguing on Rabba's position, who says that Yush is Koneh. We just don't know if it's the Rabban or the Doraita. Over here, Ula says, Yehush is not Koneh at all. How do we know that from the Psukim? Shnemar, because it says in Malachi, Ve'veitem gazul et ha-piseach ve'et ha-choleh. So here it's talking about the terrible korbanot that the people are bringing. Hashem is pointing out that the people are bringing the worst of their stuff, or things that are inappropriate as korbanot. And he says, Migishin al-mizbichi lechem migual. They bring on a mizbeach, this disgusting lechem. How do we disgust you? By the fact that you are denigrating the Shulchan Hashem by bringing this on it. When you bring the blind animal to bring as a korban, ain ra. When you bring these animals in terrible condition as your korbanot, there's nothing wrong. If you bring the worst of your stuff, if you bring the lowest of what you own, you think that Hashem's going to be pleased? You think that that's going to bring favor in the eyes of Hashem? And then the pasuk later on says, "V'amartem hinei matla'a v'pachtem oto amar Hashem tzukot ve'veitem gazul v'tapiseach v'tacholeh ve'veitem et amincha heretzeu tam yedchem amar Hashem." You're bringing all this stuff that is terrible, both from a physical standpoint as well as a history standpoint, that you're bringing things that are stolen, you think that Hashem's going to accept those from your hands. And now the Gemara draws a parallel. Gazul dumya de piseach. Gezel has the same din or is paralleled to piseach. which is an animal that has a mum in it that is lame in some way. Ma piseach leitakan tuklau. Just like a piseach is an irreversible mum, it's a permanent state for the animal. Af gazul de leitakanta. So too, gezel has no fix. Meaning that there's no way to change gezel. It will always remain gezel. You'll never be able to make an acquisition or take acquisition of it. Loshna lifnei yeush, loshna la'achar yeush. Makes no difference whether it's prior to yeush or after yeush. Gezel remains gezel. Now, a number of things to note over here. First of all, Tosafot says, didn't we just see before in the case, earlier in the Gemara, in Daf Samachay, that a person that was ganav tlet, venase ayo, person who steals a young sheep and then it becomes a ram, that's a shinoi biyado, and he's koneet. So you see that you can be koneet. So what Tosafot does is qualify this statement of Ula and say that it's not in all cases. You can never have the same object leave the possession of the gezel and become yours. So yes, if it changes entirely, then it could come into your possession, but that's not the original tle that you had. But as a tle, it will never come into your possession. Okay, if it changes into an ayo, then it might come into your possession. That's number one. Number two, Tosafot has a major issue here, as many of the Rishonim do, which is that Ula makes a statement here that is a stira to what he says later on in the Masechta on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Over there, it sounds like Ula believes, Yeush Kadi Kani, that Yeush by itself is Koneh. And all of a sudden over here, you have Ula stating that Yeush does not work over here. So you have to reconcile between the statement of Ula over here and the statement of Ula later on in the Masechta. So the Rabbeinu Tam does that by invoking the principle of Mitzvah Haba Be'Aveira. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam says, Rabbeinu Tam, Chol Makom Yeush Koneh. That Ula believes that Yeush does work as a kinyan everywhere in Shas, Yeush is Koneh. Rak the Inyan Korban. With the exception of Korbanot, that's where he says Yeush is not sufficient. Mishum Dahave Mitzvah Haba Be'Aveira. Because it's a mitzvah that comes through an Aveira. The acquisition of the object came through Gezel, and you're taking and acquiring it, and now being makdishit, that's inappropriate to go on the mizbeach, because it's a mitzvah. You're doing this hektesh and being makriv something that came into your possession through gezel. In that case, yeush will not work. And it brings proofs from other places in Shas, where like by shchutei chutz, if someone steals an animal and then is makdishit, and then shechs it b'chutz, that he is chayav for shchutei chutz, and he's not chayav for dal vehei because he's toveach shelohu mocher. How could it be possible that he's taking the acquisition of it, of all you have over here, is Yeush that granted him the kinyan? And so what the Rabbeinu Tam says, it's a bifurcated din. As far as acquisition and ownership, he has enough ownership through Yeush to do all these things. The one thing he can't do is put it on the Mizbeach, because of Mitzvah Baba Avera. But that's a technicality that prevents it from working by Korbanot. But that is not true by any other item, Yeush would be Koneh. The Ri has problems with this position of the Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore the Ri offers up an alternative, but that alternative also gives us insight into the din of a mitzvah baba leveira. And that is, Al-Korch Nira the Ri, Debechol Makom Le'ula Yeush Lokani. He disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam and says that Yeush is not Koneh anywhere. What Ula says over here is not unique to Korbanot, it's true everywhere. Va'avagav the Gorbe Korban Nami Havi Yeush V'Shino Hashem, that by Korbanot, now you have Yeush and Shino Hashem together, which should be sufficient to bring it into your possession. And if it brings it into your possession, then you should be able to makdish it and put it onto the Mizbeach. Mikom Okom, Kevin Dein Kanuiloi Ela Machmach Yigdish. The whole reason that he gets the acquisition over here is because of the Hekdesh. Lo Yilu Kanuiloi Kodem Pasle Rachman Alakrova Mishum Mitzvah Baba Avera. This is exactly what we quoted in the Tosafot yesterday, where he referenced us to the Shita of the Ri over here. And what the Ri suggests is that when it comes to Yeush, Yeush by itself is never going to work. Yeush together with Shinui Hashem, Yeush together with Shinui Rishut, that will work. Now later on, the Baal HaYetzer Tosafot will distinguish between Yeush with Shinui Hashem afterwards versus Shinui Hashem and then Yeush. Whether it's Yeush up front and then Shinui Hashem, it works as a kinyan. In a case where you have the Shinui Hashem first and then they only have the Yeush afterwards, that will not work as a kinyan. But given that you have a situation in which you have Yeush and then Shinui Hashem, you are Koneh. So then why can you not be Makriva Korban? You have Yeush, Shinui Hashem, it becomes yours. It becomes yours. Why can't you put it on the Mizbeach, Makdishit, and it's all yours to put on the Mizbeach? Shalohu Makriv. You're being Makriv, your own item. So the Ri comes up with a qualification here with regards to Mitzvah Baba Aveira, which is that if the vehicle for you making the acquisition is the Hekdesh itself, that is classified as a mitzvah haba ba'avira. Here, the Shinui Hashem that gives you control over the animal is your being makdishit. There was Yehush of the Balim, and in order for you to take full acquisition, you need Shinui Hashem. You generate that Shinui Hashem by being makdish, the animal. And therefore, in being makdish, the animal, you are now creating Shinui Hashem, Yehush and Shinui Hashem, but that is, at the moment of Hekdesh, you created that. And that's a mitzvah baba veira. Because the Hekdesh, which is the mitzvah, generates the change in ownership. And that's called, or that still has a shame mitzvah baba veira on it. The only time we won't say that, and that's what we quoted from Tosafot on yesterday's daf, is that where you have acquisition of it prior to being makdishit, then you can be makdishit, it's not called the mitzvah baba veira. Therefore, if you get control of it when it's still chulin, and you have full control, and then you're makdishit, no problem, because your acquisition didn't come through the Hekdesh. Your acquisition didn't come from making it into Truma. Over there, your acquisition existed prior to you doing the mitzvah, and therefore will not be deemed as a mitzvah ba'beveira. Ela vadai, Yehush, great alokoni. The Rish says that Yehush by itself will not be konel, machmat shikdisha. Because he was makdisha here, davle Yehush v'shinei reshut, or Yehush v'shinei Hashem, k'demasik v'sof, l'kach mifso mishum davle mitzvah ba'beveira. Because the mitzvah itself is what generates the change in ownership. But if you're able to generate the change in ownership before you do the mitzvah, it would not be deemed a mitzvah haba be'avera. Right now, we continue in the Gemara, and Rava says, yes, Ula, you're right, that Yehush is not koneh, and Rava amar mihocha. He learns it from here. Korbano v'lo agazul. It's korbano, his korban, and not from something that is stolen. Emat. When did this happen? You remember we quoted this in the Gemara on yesterday's daf. And over there, there was a question about the Girsa as to whether it was Rabba or Rava. Over here, you see that it's Rava in our Gemara. And in a second, we're going to see from the conclusion of the Gemara that it's clearly that Rava is the author of this position. So even though Abaye was challenging Rabba over there in the Gemara, Rava stepped in to answer on behalf of Rabba. But this statement or this position is attributed to Rava, not to Rabba. And that is the case here of Korban Ovelo Gazul Emat. When is this? Ilei Malifnei Yehush. If it's before Yehush Pshita, of course you can't bring this to Korban. Lamali Kro. What do I need a pasuk for to teach you that? He never took possession of the item in order to be Makdishit. Elalav Lachar Yehush. Must be even after Yehush. Yishmamena Yehush Lokoni. You see from the pasuk that Yehush doesn't give you significant enough ownership over here in order to be the owner of the animal and to be Makdishit. It's still considered to be Gazul. Still considered to be stolen. Yishmamena. You see from this that Yehush Lokoni. Varha Rava Hu Damar. Didn't Rava on the Gemara yesterday answer over here and say, the Gezel, the Korban de Chavrei? He answered the question and said, no, the scenario here is a case where he stole the Korban that was already Mukdash. It wasn't that he stole Chulin. Rather, he stole something that was already a Korban. Some say that he reversed his position. He gave that answer, but in the end, he did not subscribe to that answer. And some of them say that one of those positions was said by Rapapa. And from here, the Balei Tosafot proved that Rava is the Bala Memra over here, as well as back on Samech Vav. And that is because Rabba was the adoptive father of Rava. Rava and Abayi are peers. Rabba and Rav Yosef are peers. Rav Papa is a Talmid of Rava. So there, in terms of generations, you have Rabba, then Rava, then Rav Papa. Now, as a Talmid Muvhak of Rava, Rav Papa, who learned by Abaye as well, and also learned by Rava, it could be that Rav Papa quotes something, and we aren't certain as to whether he's quoting in his own name, or he's quoting something from his Rebbe, because his Rebbe Amuvak was Rava, and therefore people might have assumed that something he said was from Rava. On the other hand, to get confused between Rav Papa and Rava makes no sense, because they were two generations apart, and Rav Papa wouldn't have been quoting things directly from Rava without giving attribution to Rava. He might quote things from Rava without giving attribution, because everybody knows that Rava is his Rebbe. And so the confusion arose between that position over here versus the position back on Samech Vav as to one of those is attributed to Rava and one of them is attributed to Rav Papa. But that would only make sense if you're talking about Rava and Rav Papa, not when you're talking about Rava and Rav Papa. Now the Gemara continues and says, Umidat Tashlumei Arba'a V'Chamisha. In the Mishnah it says that Arba'a V'Chamisha is different than Kefel, because Kefel applies to animate and inanimate objects. Whereas Arba V'Chamisha only applies to a shor or a seh, because the pasuk says ki gnov ish shor or seh utivachom mecharo chamisha v'kai yishalem tachat ashor v'arba tzon tachat haseh. So the pasuk or the din only applies to a shor and a seh. And the Gemara now says Famai, why is that the case? Nalif, shor, mi Shabbat. Like we did earlier in the Masechta, why don't we say that there's a gzeira shava of shor from here to shor of Shabbat? Malalan chayav ov kiyotzvan, just like by Shabbat, it's all inclusive. The word shor is just an example, but not exclusive. Afkan chayav ov kiyotzvan, so too over here, it should be the same thing. So, Amarova, Amarkra, the pasuk says, shor viseh. Shor viseh. It says shor viseh shnei pe'amim, twice. And therefore, shor viseh in midah rin alo. Therefore, it's exclusive to shor viseh and nothing more. Now, the Baal HaYad Tosafot already questioned a little bit and say, listen, if it had just written shor, then I would have understood a thought to learn it out from Har Sinai. That's maybe why you need the word shor twice to tell you that it's shor exclusively. But why do I need to repeat the word seh twice? The word seh would not have taught you that, or you don't need to exclude it. So what the Baal HaYad Tosafot suggests is that had it been that the word seh was not repeated twice, we would have thought that when it says shor twice, it's coming to tell you that this is the exclusive din of a shor. But all other animals, they're just like a seh. And therefore, yes, the shor has a din of shor because it's repeated twice, and therefore you pay five times bakar. But if it comes to any other animal, it'll have the din of a seh. So therefore I have to repeat seh to tell you that these two animals are exclusive animals, and it does not apply more broadly. Now the Gemara has to figure out, the shor and seh in the pasuk, why are they extraneous? That's what is being suggested over here by Rava, that you have an extraneous statement. You can have kignov ish shor seh, that's the first time they're mentioned. Utvacho mecharo chamisha bakar yishleim takara shor, abatzon takara seh. So that's the second time it's repeated. Which of those could you drop out? And that's what the Gemara is going to try to figure out now. The Gemara says, Amrei, hey, miyater. Which one of these is extraneous? Ilei mashor said the seifa. If you say the shor and the seh in the latter part of the pasuk, miyater, those are the extraneous ones. The nichtov rachmana, the pasuk should have said, kignov shor, oseh, utvacho mecharo, chamisha baka yishalem tachtav, va'arbatzon tachtav. Then you'll pay five for this one and four for that one. Ikadam rachmana ochi. If you wrote it that way, habamina. I would have thought that that is additive. You would have to take five bakar plus four tzon for either one, the shor, the seh. No matter which one of those that were stolen and then shechted or sold, you would have to pay it nine times. If you tell me that the word tachtav is written twice to differentiate and say that's not the case, one of those tachtavs is extra. How we violate that, we need the drosha achrino. We need that for a different drosha, the Tanya. Yachol ganav shor shaveh maneh. You would think he stole a shor that's worth 100 zuz. Yishalem tachtav nigidin. You can pay him back five animals that are weaklings, that are worthless animals. Tamalomer tachtav. Tachtav. That the extra word tachtav comes to teach you, or tacha comes to teach you the fact that you have to replace the animal. That you have to give him quality animals that are of the same quality of animal that you stole and sold, or you stole and you shechted. Ela b'shor v'seh the reishim yutar. Must be that the shor and seh of the ratio of the pasuk are those that are extraneous. Dinichtov Rachman, a pasuk should have said, Kivnov ish, utivacho mecharo, chamisha baka yishlem tachad ashor, barbetzon tachad aset, ikadav Rachmano hachi. If the pasuk wrote this, havamina adganiv trei. I have to steal both things in order to be chayav. Vitavachlu. And then you shech them. But it says, wait, it says utivacho, which is in the singular. Vitavacho to, ktiv, lechad, meaning that only one of them. So ve'ema adganiv tarvayu, umizavin lehu, Umecharokti. Wait a minute. So maybe you would say now that until you steal both of them and sell them, Mecharokti, that's also written in the singular. Lechad, only one has to be sold in order to be chayav. Ve'ema, so the havamina will be this. Havamina ad the ganiv trei, you have to steal two of them. Betavachat umezavinchat. And you sell one and you shecht one and then you'll be chayav. The Gemara says, oh, Mecharokti. The word oh is there, which means or. You don't have to do both, you only have to do one. Ve'kati, still I would have thought, havamina ad the ganiv tarvayu. Until you steal both of them, v'tavachad u'mishayirchad, and then you shecht one, and you leave one over. O mizabinchad, o mishayirchad. Or, you sell one and leave the other one over. But you still were required to steal both of them, and then only act on one of them in order to be chayav. Ela, shor the seifa v'sed the reisha miyater. It has to be that we have a mix. That the shor of the seifa is extra, and the seh of the reisha is extra. Dinichto brachmana. This is what the pasuk should have looked like. And we could have gotten away with this. Kignov ish shor, utevacho mecharo, chamisha bakar yishalem tachtav, v'arbatzon tachat haseh. So therefore, the shor the seifa, the seh the reisha lamali. Now you can leave out the shor in the seifa because the tachtav will reference back to the shor of the reisha. And you won't get confused because in the reisha, the other tachtav is not written tachtav, but seh, and tells you that seh is a different din. So So therefore, you don't have sin in the ratio. So lama li, why do I need those extraneous words? Shmamina, shor v'se in mida achrin alo. That only exclusively be a shor in a se, you will be chayav, chamisha bakar, tachat ashor, and arba'at, son, tachat ase, mida achrin alo. But nothing else will you be chayav for. We're not going to draw a gzer shavar or a parallel to Shabbat to say it's inclusive of all other animals, but it's exclusive to a shor or a se. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots, five lines up from the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Bet.